Asia's crypto policy wave, Japan eyes. Bitcoin ETFs. Korea opens up. A single weekly roundup from Wu Blockchain captured a pattern worth pausing on. In 1 week, five major Asian governments each advanced crypto policy, and each picked a different route. Japan is folding on-chain finance into national economic strategy and aiming to clear Bitcoin ETFs by 2028. South Korea is widening institutional access, even as domestic exchange volume slides. Russia is standing up regulated trading infrastructure through its largest bank. The Philippines and Vietnam are drafting stablecoin and market frameworks. The common thread is direction, not method. All five are building toward integration rather than restriction. For context, the market these policies sit against is quiet. As of July 26, 2026, Bitcoin trades near $64,500, up 0.8% on the day, with Ether at 1,088, so 1.7%, and the Fear and Greed Index reading 36 or fear. Policy is moving faster than price right now, which is often when the more durable shifts happen. Japan puts on-chain finance in the national plan. The headline move is Japan treating tokenized and on-chain finance as a matter of industrial policy rather than a niche to be supervised. Positioning a Bitcoin ETF target for 2028 signals that Japanese regulators want spot crypto products inside the regulated wrapper that domestic institutions and retirement money already trust, rather than pushing that demand offshore. The timeline matters as much as the target. A 2028 date is far enough out to require tax treatment, custody standards, and disclosure rules to be settled first. And Japan has historically gated crypto behind strict listing and custody requirements. Setting a public target puts pressure on those pieces to be finished. For anyone spending or holding crypto inside Japan, a clearer product regime tends to pull banking and card partners in behind it, since the compliance path stops being a guess. South Korea opens the institutional door. As volume falls, South Korea's move runs in the opposite direction from its retail market. Exchange volumes have been sliding, yet regulators are moving to expand institutional access rather than protect the existing retail-dominated structure. That is a deliberate rebalancing. Broaden who can legally participate while the speculative froth is thin. Institutional access usually arrives with the boring plumbing that actually lasts, such as qualified custody, corporate account rules, and reporting standards. The near-term effect in South Korea is unlikely to be a volume spike. The longer-term effect is a market with more balance sheet behind it and fewer retail-only swings. Whether that revives trading activity is an open question the current data does not answer. Russia builds the rails through its largest bank. Russia's approach is infrastructure first, reporting points to Sberbank, the country's largest bank, constructing regulated crypto trading infrastructure. That follows Russia's recent legislative move to recognize crypto as property and to allow it in cross-border trade. A combination that reads less like retail permission and more like a state-adjacent settlement layer for a sanctioned economy. The distinction is important. A bank-built regulated venue in Russia is aimed at institutions and cross-border flows, not consumer spending. Most global card issuers do not serve the Russian market, and this infrastructure does not change that. It is a national rail story, and it should be read that way rather than as a consumer access one. Southeast Asia writes the stablecoin rulebook. The Philippines and Vietnam round out the week by advancing stablecoin and crypto market frameworks. Both are high remittance economies where dollar-pegged stablecoins already do real work moving money across borders. So formal rules follow existing behavior rather than trying to invent it. Vietnam is the sharper case. The country has drafted rules that include fines for unlicensed trading, pairing new legitimacy with new enforcement. That two-sided design, a legal on-ramp plus penalties for operating outside it, is becoming the template across the region. For users in the Philippines and Vietnam, the practical upshot is that stablecoin payment products gain a clearer legal footing, which is what card and wallet providers wait for before committing to a market. Five roads, one direction. The reason to treat these as one story rather than five is the shared trajectory against a divided method. Japan is building regulated products, South Korea is widening institutional access, Russia is constructing settlement rails, and Southeast Asia is formalizing stablecoins. None copied another's playbook, and the sequencing reflects each economy's starting point. What none of them did was reach for a ban. For the payments and card side of crypto, regulatory clarity is the precondition that comes before product. Issuers need settled tax, custody, and licensing rules before they underwrite a market. This week did not launch a single new card. It moved five jurisdictions closer to the point where launching one is a compliance exercise rather than a legal gamble. The next signal to watch is which of these frameworks produces a licensed local product first.